That reminds me, that brings me back a long way. I saw Miss Ann with her hand up over there. We used to ride back and forth on that old station wagon. And all these young'uns on there. Well, part of them weren't all born then. We was going to Pleasant Ridge. They, you remember Miss Brother Vesta? What's her name? Goodman? Vesta. She sang that song. And we had a tape, one of them old kind of 8-tracks, you know. And get me stirred up before I got to church. Who am I? Brother Bobby did a good job on that. That a king would bleed and die for. Now, you ain't going to believe this. We went down to Brother Buford in church last night to sing. And this lady sung that song last night. That's why I'm about to come off that bench a while ago. I done got excited about it. That must be on time then, Brother Bobby. Who am I? When I think about that, that a king would bleed and die for. You can't even get close to a king or president or anything else. I mean, really. We had one. Loved us. Went to that cross. Died. Shed his blood. That we could have eternal life. What a Savior. He's good, isn't he? Thank the Lord he is. Well, I've got a couple of Bibles here. Large print, personal size. KJV, King James Version. I got a lot of versions, but this is mine. Right? I like that right there. Hallelujah. I don't think he can improve on it. It's just, I'll never forget, and I was looking, they handed me a Bible at the funeral home when they was asking what I wanted them to put on Carol's card, the card thing. I said, well, I want to put some of her verses. I know she had a lot of favorite verses. They handed me a Bible, and I started reading, and I said, well, I can't even find the verse I'm looking for. I said, I can't put that on there. I said, she'd come back and haunt me. But I said, you got a King James Version around here? They found me one, and I could find the verse. Romans 5:8. God commend his loving toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's not all it says. You go on through there, you find while we was ungodly, while we was without strength, in due time, Christ died for us, didn't he? What a Savior. What a Savior. Well, I know we got a couple of, I don't know, is Spencer here? He ain't made, he's running late. Well, anyway, we got Miss Katie. Come in, Miss Katie. I'm going to give you one of these Bibles. Well, I'll give Spencer his directly. That's my grandson. He's on the way he's supposed to be, but anyway, he's running late. But it's a very important. I heard Brother Charles Stanley, he's a good preacher, say just last night. He said it don't matter, and he's got probably, his, I don't know what all kind of degrees he's got. I'm sure he got a doctorate degree. But you know what he said? He's talking about fearing God. He said, that's the beginning of knowledge, and he brought the scripture out, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is. He said, if you don't fear God, he said, it don't matter how much education you got, no matter how much schooling you got, no matter what everything else, no matter how much anything else you got, main thing is to know God and fear him. That's so. That's true. And so I want to encourage those when they get to that place, where they leave high school, gone, and lots of them going on to college, or wherever they go, just remember, this is a guideline. That the book. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against it. You know that verse the psalmist David said? You know what? He said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And look at what the Psalms of the Psalms, he wrote. Goodness. But he's out to a place, at one time, he got hit, was hiding in the cave, running. He was. But you know what? He encouraged himself in the Lord. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? So get the Word of God. Feast on it. Feed on it. Hide it in your heart. I'll tell you what, you'll never regret it. Never regret it. The only real I got is I didn't study more, hide more in my heart, even memorize more. Even when I could maybe memorize a little bit. But you know what? Thank God for His Word. May the riches of His blessing rest upon you. We bless this morning. We blessed you in Sunday school. Brother Mike Kelly is going to come share a word for you. Come on, Brother Mike. Brother Mike's a missionary. He's really the one that stirred us up about getting going into prisons. He usually comes at least once, twice a year, even to the prison right down here. And we usually try to go with him before we go on Tuesday night. Come on, Brother Mike. Sir? Yeah, I got that. What did I do? Well?
I guess he want me to stay behind this pulpit, amen.
Oh, I want to see you out here now, huh?
Amen. All right, thank you, brother. Once again, it's a blessing to be here. And
it's on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, what side you put it on? Yeah, I'm back beside you. Don't bear with me, and I should have done had this on you. Before you put it on here?
Yeah.
Well, bear it with you. You probably put it on better than me. Got to turn it loose before I turn it loose.
All right. It's on?
All right.
All right. Once again, it's such a blessing to be here. And I think last time I was here last year, I wasn't doing as well as I'm doing now. Appreciate your prayers and trust you all continue to pray for us. Here last week was my first time after I convinced my wife that I could drive, so I drove about 100 miles, so praise the Lord for that. So I'm getting a lot better. I'm still having dialysis done here 3 times a week. The blessed part of that is that whatever town I'm in, I can get with my counselor prior to leaving. And they always get me a place to have my dialysis done. And so once again, you all continue to pray for us and trust the Word of God to be a help to you. Let me introduce my wife. I do want to go home today, so I better try to introduce her. This is my wife, Linda. Some of you have met her, some of you have not. My daughter, Melissa, and my son-in-law, Louise, is with us today, and then my grandson, Marlon, is with us. He's our preacher. He says, Dad Mike, but you don't have a long ways to go with me, no way. He said, Dad Mike, I'm going to be a better preacher than you and Uncle Mike. So I said, well, you don't have much to go with me, okay? So, but praise the Lord for him, and he loves the Lord. I said, trust that he would obey the Lord as he continues to read his Bible and to draw closer to him. Once again, I certainly appreciate your prayers. Continue to pray for us. My eyes I can see a lot better, but I had a surgery for floaters. And he got the floater out. It seemed like I left a string in the back of my retina, and then there's a string that seemed like it hangs down. Some of you can't see it, but I can. It hangs down to my chest. And sometimes when I'm talking or whatever, it gets mad with me. Big bubble come across my face. So if you see me do this, I'm not. You see me doing that, you know why? Okay. If you would take your Bibles today and turn to 2 Timothy, okay, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We'll read that today. And we trust that the Word of God I forgot my granddaughter Mariah. She's with us today as well. I certainly appreciate them traveling with us, and I trust that they were hear the word of God as well. Okay. Now notice it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God, now this is the man of God, this is the people of God. Actually, let's look at this as man, woman, child, whatever. It said the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all what? Good works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you so much for giving us a Bible that we can learn more about you, and giving us the Spirit of God, enabling us to love you back and to love others. And Father, I do pray today that you open our eyes and ears and hearts and be receptive to the Word of God, that we would apply it to our life in such a way to be pleasing to you. Father, we do love you today. I do not take anything for granted. There may be someone here that do not know Christ as personal Savior. I trust today would be the day of salvation for them. I do pray for every Christian, Lord, to realize what I just read today, and realize that this is for, they said, the man of God. And each of us ought to should share that title, man, woman of God, in such a way, Lord, we do think that we can be drawn closer to you throughout the scriptures. Help us, Lord. We are needy people. Get me out of the way, Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have complete control of this service. We do love you. We do thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Notice verse 17. Let me read 16 again. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. All scriptures. All scriptures are important. Very important. Okay? You can't exclude one and guess what? You'll take the other. You have to take, it says all scriptures. All scriptures. I believe the word of God is pure. Amen. I do believe that. I believe the word of God is for us. That we may learn more of God and be able to follow the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit by way of God. Let me share this with you. The Spirit of God is not going to work outside of the Word of God. Yeah, y'all understand that. And so don't come telling me, other people do it. The Spirit said it. Well, it is Scripture. Why? Because we are basing everything on Scriptures. On the Word of God. That's what we're doing. Everything on the Word of God. Now, guess what the Word of God is doing? Now, notice, it said, by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction, and righteousness. Everything you need, guess what? It's in the Word of God. If you want to serve God, guess what? You need to know the Word of God. He's going to give you directions, and He's going to give you everything you need. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. All. You know, you people preach it, but people, pastors or evangelists that preach the word of God, and even in here, if the word of God is preached, if you don't like it, you're not going to take it. And you will not profit from it either. Y'all understand that? So he's setting you all. He's not telling you some of it. He's setting you all scriptures. Now, we need to understand every Christian should wear this title, okay, the man of God. Humbly, appropriately, this is a great responsibility upon the believer. It's great responsibility. I can't tell you, listen, truly furnished. He wants you to be full. Truly furnished. The Word of God. And I'm not here to judge anybody or whatever, but part of some of us don't even open our Word of God until we come to church. And he said here, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, in righteousness. Now why? Because the man of God may be, that man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so we see here this morning that the scriptures is given to us that we may draw closer to God, that we may be truly furnished unto all good works. Now notice here, this is a great responsibility upon believers to fulfill it. He needs to be equipped Yes, fulfill it. He needs to be equipped. Yes, fully equipped from the Word of God. Guess what? You're going to be fully equipped from the Word of God. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? Raise your hand. How many are you going to eat breakfast tomorrow morning? Raise your hand. How many are you going to eat lunch today? Huh? Why are you doing it? Why you do that? That's an appetite. Let's be careful. The Word of God, let's be careful. Ought to be, just like you eat food, amen. The Word of God ought to be first place in your, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things here be added unto you. So guess what? We ought to seek God daily, get from God daily. Guess what? In order to be profitable, let's be carefully and know to be furnished unto all good works. And it's a sad thing to know those that do not know Christ and false religion, they know their book. They study it. It's a sad thing that Christians put to shame because we don't know the book. It is sad. I've seen so many people to come and I said false religion and they are very sharp in false religion, and guess what? They will eat you up. But if you knew the Word of God, he can. And so we need to be equipped by the Word of God. This morning, we're going to look at an Old Testament saint who was called a man of God. How he passed the test and having such a name. Think about that. What did God say? Well, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. Now, we're going to look at, and I want to keep you alone today. Now, we're going to look at one man, Moses, was called a man of God. Guess what? He didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, even though the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him and accepted for works for that God wanted to establish a work through him. Guess what? He didn't have the Holy Spirit. Listen, we got it better than he did. He had. We had the Holy Spirit living in us. But he did not. And so Moses was called a man of God. Now, today I want to challenge you, okay, the congregation to develop a closer relationship with God by watching Moses. Notice, Moses, number one, Moses was a follower of God. He was called the man of God. Now, how did he get there? It wasn't because of something he did good. You know, Moses did kill a man, didn't he? And he ran out and did 40 years, okay, then God began to work on him. So it wasn't anything that he had done. Why he was called a man of God. Moses was God's man. Listen, no other in the Old Testament had a relationship with God such as Moses. It was not attained by some special merit, like I said, that he had done. You know, and then God wasn't partial towards him. Now it was a matter of spiritual growth. Over many years, Moses was over 80 years old. Listen to me carefully. And had been growing spiritually since he was 40. Now think about this. Now all those years, Moses grew more and knew more and more and was drawn more to God. And listen to me carefully. And Moses was a man, guess what, that frequently met with God alone. And we need to understand, you read the Word of God in Deuteronomy, I'm not turning it today. Guess what? Moses spoke to God, or God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to God. They had a good relationship, amen? And here, let's be careful. You have out there have a good relationship with God. Realize that each morning we get up, we quench the Spirit of God. Hey, we get up, we can't even pray in the morning. We go throughout the day and forget God. I'm not here to get on you. Think about that. And some get through the day without even the knowledge of God. Now, how could we be a man of God? Now, notice, we need to understand, like I said, Moses was a man at great communication with God. God wanted to communicate with you. Could I tell you something? Listen to me carefully. I want you to hear me now. Nowhere in the Bible that God says, you're getting too close to me. Are you too deep? Huh? Or you know more than you ought to know? Nowhere in the scriptures that tells me you're getting too close. Back off now, you read too much. Now you think about that. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in grace. Hey, listen to me carefully. He wants us to get closer to him as you can get. And that was Moses' desire, okay? And that he communicated with God on a daily basis, okay? A daily walk with God. And God wants that. If other than that, listen to me carefully. I'm not getting on you. I need this as well. We quench the Spirit of God every day if you don't watch it. I grieve about something you had no business saying. Could I tell you something? God wants you to be so close to him that you ought to have a constant awareness of the presence of God. You hear that? God wants you so close to him, he wants you to have a constant awareness of the presence of God. Now, let me share it with you. I was, even in high school, we got in fights every day. But there was this dean, named Dean Ellis. And could I tell you something? He was always around when fights take place. Boy, we act like that never happened. And we try to look around and see what Gillis, was he was here around. And a lot of times we wouldn't do anything because we thought he was there and he wasn't there. But that's not with God. You think he's there, he is there. If you're saved today, okay? And so we see here that we ought to have that constant awareness of the presence of God. You know, here years ago, I guess it hadn't been too long. I pulled out in the street and almost hit this guy on the motorcycle. And he pulled beside me, and I had my head turned. My wife was looking. I said, "What is he doing?" She said, "He's giving you the finger." I said, "What is he doing? He's cursing you out." And you ready, Brother Murphy? I started to just turn my steering with the sergeant. Take care of him. But here's the thing here. By reading the Word of God and allowing God to be present with you, you know what the Lord says? You just hit that man. In your heart, you just ran over that man. And you know what? Not only that, he calls me. He said, "You pull over. You need to pray." And I asked the Lord to forgive me. It didn't happen. You understand? But my heart, wasn't no law, I probably would have. But that constant awareness of the presence of God. You understand? You wouldn't do the things that you do. And so we see here that Moses, like I said, had a constant awareness of the presence of God. He communicated with God. And he realized that he couldn't do anything without God. And if you read the scripture through Exodus and Deuteronomy, you see, and the Lord said unto Moses, and Moses said unto the Lord, you know, back and forth, you know. And so we see here communication on a daily basis. We ought to hang around the Lord all the time. He with us. Like I said, I'm not trying to want to beat you over the head this morning. But I'm trying to draw us closer to God by the Word of God. And he's saying all scriptures are given. And what you need is the Word of God. Could I tell you something, my friend? There's times when you go through some type of trials or tribulation, and then you get to questioning God about some things. And the things that you're questioning about is already in the scriptures that help you with it. And then some of them will leave it to the Lord. The Lord ain't answer my Lord. You know why? You're not in the book. Now, I'm not saying this to you here, because you're not a Pharisee or a Sadducee. You're not. But in the book of Matthew, The Pharisees and Sadducees are always trying to trip him up. And you know what he said? Have you not read?
Yeah. Sure.
Have you not read in the scriptures?
Yeah.
Have you never read? I want to preach that, but I'm not. But think about that. The question he asked, have you not read? That is written in the Word of God. You praying about things. God said, why are you asking me this? It's already in the Word of God. You give your answer if you open the Word of God. And you're asking for things, God says, I already given to you. Listen, we kept read this morning. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things.
Amen.
You have to know what you got. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he says. But it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Of his pleasure. See, we see that God works it in and God works it out. But guess what? It's up to you to read the word of God to get it in. Y'all understand that? And Moses had that desire. Man, he didn't do anything without dealing with God first.
Amen.
Think about that. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. We're not in Sunday school or anything like that. But you know, think about this. You praying about things and praying about things and the Spirit of God trying to tell you. Your answer's in the book. Your answer's in the book.
Amen.
You know what? What helped me with all things? Been given it to us. All things.
Yes.
It's given to us. I said again, all things are given to us.
Amen.
And then he says in Romans, and we know that all things. All things work together, right? Right? For good. For those who love God. Now notice now, when I'm going through some things here, and guess what? I need to understand that I know. Why you know? I got that personal relationship with God. And guess what? I'm acquainted with some things from the Word of God. I'm acquainted with Him. Guess what? I trust in Him. So everything that takes place, guess what? And I love Him. I'm going to read this Word of God. For knowledge and wisdom. You can get all the knowledge you want to, but wisdom better be on board. I'll show you how I fit, okay? How to, you understand? How to rightly divide the word of truth.
Right.
And how to grow from it. And how to help others with it. You see, the word of God has been given to us. We're saved here. Guess what? We're saved for a reason to, and left here, guess what? To lead others to Christ. To tell others about Christ. To tell others about Christ. To tell others about Christ. And so we see that God wants us to be closer. And this is Moses. Now look at Moses' faithfulness. He was a servant of God. He served and served the people without compromising with them. Which is in Deuteronomy 34:5. Okay? He is known as the servant of God. Not only the man of God, but the servant of God. A servant, listen, be careful. A servant don't can't even think for himself. Not him from the scriptures of God. You got to get the word of God. He tells us to get rid of these old things. And the new man ought to have the things of God.
Amen.
Know the things of God. We can't profit anything in the flesh when it comes to God. It has to be spiritual. And so he's not only was a man of God, he was called the servant of God. Now notice, like I said, he was known as servant of God. Guess what? He's a faithful servant that gets God's attention. You know what? When I read the word of God, my prayer life, not in my prayer life, I'm getting the word of God to help me and to equip me for the work, for the ministry.
Amen.
So it's all about the relationship that Moses had with God. He was a devoted man. He devoted himself to the Lord. And guess what? His directions came from God. You see that? And then his decision was to obey God and to know God in the right way. You understand that? My decisions, guess what, ought to be to obey God. You see that? And then he said, if my devotions ought to be to God, my directions ought to come from God.
Right.
My directions.
Yes, sir.
Could I tell you something? Listen, I'm talking about the Christian now. Don't follow God's direction and see where you end up at. See where you wind up at. And our decision making ought to be to obey God. Our decision making. You know, a lot of times I can witness to this myself here, making my own decision to do something, and then you expect God to bless it. Have we ever done that before? I get myself, then we get ourselves in trouble. Because only if you had obeyed me, you wouldn't have done it. So obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what God says. Am I right? It's better than a sacrifice. And so we see here that Moses was not only called a man of God, and we see it a servant of God. Guess what he was called? Friend of God. Friend of God. Even Abraham. Abraham was also called a friend of God because of his faithfulness and his obedience. Think about the faithfulness and obedience. I tell you here, he's standing behind this pulpit. There's times when a decision is made. I have not made the right direction. Haven't followed the right direction. Haven't followed what God's word. And read the word of God and know what God's word says. And you can see what we're doing, going to do anyway. And suffer the consequences from it. We really do. And so we see here that Moses sought the glory of God because he wanted to know God and the Lord better, and he wanted to have a closer relationship with God. We see here with him, he was never satisfied. He was constantly requesting God, and God continued to grant it. You know, when we read the Word of God, I want to know more about him. Paul had that. Paul meant that I may know him. The power of his resurrection. Listen to me carefully. And the fellowship of his suffering. Hey, listen. Paul wanted to know. And we need to understand that. Moses, back to Moses. Moses had that desire to want to know more about God. And you know, even in the Old Testament, even from the tabernacle and etc., guess what? He gave Moses instructions, you know, how to lead and how to guide others in the areas. Guess what? Moses was a thus said the Lord man. You know, that's how he lived a life. Thus said the Lord. And we see that he was called a friend of God. Because God looked down from heaven and said, hey, that's my friend. God said, oh, he's thoroughly furnished. God said, hey, he's the man of God. Just like he picked out Job. Have you considered Job?
Amen.
I want to say, have you considered? Now, let me tell you something. The devil is still working. Now, I don't know about this is me. Now, I don't know about what I understand from the scripture where he said, have you considered my servant Job? You ever thought about when you go through it? And the Lord said, have you considered? Have you considered Mike Kelly? Have you considered Bill I? Have you considered him? Have you tried him? And if I was there, our faith is much more, it's tried much more precious than that of gold that perished. Talked about that this morning. And have you tried him? You know, God tries, Satan tempts. And I'm afraid a lot of us have fallen into the temptation of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Can I tell you something? He's very sharp.
Oh, yeah.
And what's going to help us is the word of God. That's what's going to help us. And that's what's keep you, have you, keep you from falling into things that you need not to fall into, but to keep you and equip you, equip you at a right to discernment, how to discern things. Why? Because of the Word of God. You know, let's be careful. I was looking at something here about 3 weeks ago, and guy made a statement. You can't get saved until you love God. Now you think of it, that sounds good, but it's not true. The Bible tells me, Romans chapter 5 here, he said, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. So let me share it with you. And this is the Word of God. Listen, think about this. God loves you so much, He's given you all things and even giving you love to love Him back. God first loved us. If you realize the things you have, the benefits of the things you have, it'll blow your mind. Now we see Moses, like I said, he was called the man of God, servant of God, and the friend of God. Moses, once again, was a man that wanted to follow God and was never satisfied with where he was. Can I tell you something? As Christians, we're satisfied where we are. We're on our way to heaven. But we don't realize we're created to God into good works. Yeah. Amen. And God before ordained that we should walk in them. Now there's work to be done, not work to be saved. Amen. Amen. Right. But after you say, guess what? Ought to be a work done. Ought to be a work. And guess what? Listen. God is not saying that you, listen, I'll save you now. Now you're on your own. No, He gave us the Holy Spirit of God that enabled us to live this Christian life and follow Him. So you're not alone. I tell you what, it'd be a sad thing we was alone, wasn't we? And so he see here that Moses always, he didn't do anything without God's permission. He was a faithful servant. He was a faithful servant. And Moses was a man that really loved God. Hey, let me give you another here. I don't have it here, but let me give you another. David was a man after God's heart. Oh no. Now notice, he said, it didn't say he was the man, a man, after God's own heart. Guess what? That leaves room for you and me. Think about that. And think about his prayer life, you know. And Moses had a deep prayer life. Moses was one that even tapped into the mercy of God. You remember God said, I'm going to storm. And Moses had that desire. He loved not only to serve God, he loved the people as well. And he begged God, Lord, don't. Tap into God's mercy. And show where God repented. And not the same repentant that we talked about. God did change his mind. But God do realize that he had promised Abraham. But Moses was one that was drawn to God in such a way that God had these scriptures to write. Now notice here that Paul, I mentioned Paul had a great desire, wanted to know the Lord. Wanted to know the Lord. Well, back to Moses, he requested some things here. He said, and Deuteronomy as well. And what we heard, and what we read and what we will read and the Word of God, that Moses has several requests of the Lord. He requests things. You know, God gave him, granted him this request. Now think about when Pharaoh, you know, when Moses is out, actually the Lord told him they were going to leave, and all the plagues on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, well, we're going to let him go. And then when he got down to the Red Sea, down to the sea, they began to turn against Moses and Aaron. But Moses was so close to God. He was one that the Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. Moses once saw the sea, okay, how it was departed, and how he was able to walk through up there on dry land. Why? Because he's one that knew God. Amen. Listen, he was one that said, I don't think God's going to do this. I don't. Test after test that Moses was brought through. But what helped him was that he knew that he had a God. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Going to serve that he served. Guess what? Now notice, if Moses, that man of God, and I said a servant of God, and he was a friend of God, guess what? When he went to Pharaoh, he didn't go to Pharaoh shaking his head. No, he went to Pharaoh with boldness because he knew God and he was communicating with God. He knew the power of God. Amen. And guess what? He didn't get saved, but he convinced Pharaoh that there is a God. And we as Christians, can I tell you something? Listen, we as Christians ought to let others, that people ought to see us and know that he really loved God. And man really served God. You remember when I think it was Rahab, made the statement that she heard what had happened? And she wanted to fear God too. She said, I know what God can do. I heard it. And she was excited about it. And so we need to understand that God's word is precious. We need to understand that God is all powerful. We need to understand that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, that all we ask or think of him. I was also looking at an illustration, and I heard two preachers say this, that God is not in control of this world. What kind of mess is that? Then he goes to name and all things that happen to people. See, now if God was in control, he would. Now we ought to know God so much that we ought to understand that God is in control. He's in control. You know, when I first was told that I had to go on dialysis, I got a little upset. I really did. But you know, it didn't last long. I'm not boasting, really. I can tell you some bad things I've done too. But it didn't last long. You know what it said to me? I am in control. I'm in control. Peter, what Paul expresses his desire, and these words I just mentioned earlier, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Okay? Now notice, and he said, by these means, I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, see, we need to understand that Paul, and the Lord told Paul, that he'd be going through serious trials, tribulation. But Paul served the Lord and was so close to God. Y'all ready for this? Even other Christians turned away from Paul because things got deep. It got deep, did it not? It was so deep. You know, some was bold, and then some was against him. Some said, hey, Paul is too spiritual. You know, he knows too much. Paul, listen to me carefully, and I know I won't talk about Moses, but Paul, listen to me carefully, was one that people knew that he was of God. It was so strong that even when the guards was, well, I think it was, guess at least one of them had 6 hours a day, if he chained with Paul, and guess what? Paul, if you read the rest of the end of Philippians, you see that Paul led them to the Lord. It's in Caesar's household. Why? Because Paul was one that was acquainted with God. He was one that communicated with God. You understand that? Paul realized that, listen, he was not his own. He'd been bought with a price. He understand that the Spirit of God had to work mightily in him and enable him to get the Word of God to others. And you think about some of the towns that he went to. Ephesus and all the other places, all devil worshipers and things that were really devilish. If they believed something to the Lord. It was Felix. He said, that almost persuaded me. Why? Because Paul was a man, guess what, that loved God, and they saw God all over him. And I'll say this again here, I'm not trying to get on you, but the man of God may be truly furnished. He wants to be furnished. He wants to be equipped. He wants to be one to come in and speak carefully. He wants one that for people see God. I had a friend. He's still my friend. I hadn't seen him in a long time, but he used to deliver milk. And every time he go to the store, guess what they run from him? You ready for this? Why? Because he was going to say something about the Lord. Every time, here come Miller, and they ran. Why? Because his conversation was always be about God. There was another friend of mine that I was at, and I didn't know he had the same doctor, had a particular time. He'd come in there, and we got to talking. Brother, he got to crying and telling me about the Lord and how good God is and accepting people looking at us all. You know, and guess what? This man was on fire for God. He didn't care what these people say. He was on fire for God. Why? Because he was really furnished. Amen. He realized that he was equipped by the Word of God. And what makes us ashamed, you ready for this? Because we really don't read the Word of God. It doesn't make us bold enough to get the Word of God to others. And we need to understand when people laugh at you, when people, when people just ridicule you, guess what? That's good. Yeah. All Christians don't suffer persecution. Yeah. And that's good. A friend of mine came to me here a while back. He and I grew up together. And after he got saved, people called Holy Ghost, Holy Roller Jesse. He kind of got upset with that. I said, hey, brother, don't get upset with that. Yeah, I'm going to call you Holy Roller. Good. Yeah. That's showing that he sees something different in you. That's it. Y'all understand that? And so God wants to read the Word of God to be perfectly furnished. Furnished. Yeah. And that's on a daily basis. Yeah. Right. A daily basis. Can I tell you something? You do that on a daily basis, God will reward you. Isn't that something? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we see that Paul was one that had that great desire to deal with God. Peter desired. Look at Peter, grace, and he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. How are you going to get the knowledge? The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Now notice now that this is Peter's desire here, that we may, he said, grace and peace be multiplied. How is it multiplied? Through the righteousness of God. Listen to me carefully. How does assurance come by the knowledge of God? You know, here that the word of God is written here for you to listen, be careful, know the word of God. And when people say that, I know what I'm talking about. They give you more boldness because you know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Boy, how many want to be bold for God? Don't be out there, raise your hand. I'm sure that's what I was trying. I want to be. Now notice what he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus our Lord. Now notice, grace and peace be multiplied. How is it going to be multiplied? And his answer, through the knowledge of God. How do we get the knowledge of God? By the scriptures.
I see it.
And a lot of us come up with things, you know, we people ask you something, you come up with it, and it ain't even scripture. It sounds good. It does. It sounds good, don't it? But guess what? It'd be good if you know what the Word of God says. And you know what we do? My nieces they run a boutique shop there, and they always hand the tracks out, you know. And this other group that come by, you know, with the white showers, etc. And try to push them up. But one of my nieces took her Bible, took a children's Bible, and showed them what he was totally wrong. You know, after that, you must be a scholar or something. She said, no, I just read the Word of God.
Amen.
Huh? You ought to be a scholar. But that's what they called. Why? Because they, first time they come in contact with somebody that knew the Word of God. And guess what? From a lost person, they say, you must be a scholar. They saw some difference here. Because everything they said was being torn down by the way of the scriptures. By the word of God. Now notice what else that Peter says here. We see here where Paul is. Let's go back to Paul here. Now notice he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Now we understand that now. And what does he say? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believes according to the working of his mighty power? It's God has given you things, but this is how he give it to you, is by the mighty power of the Spirit of God, but it has to be from the Word of God. The Spirit of God does not work outside the Word of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. God wants your roots to be deep. How your roots are going to get deep? Get in the Word of God. Before you get deep. And guess what? So deep would not be moved. He wants to be rooted and built up in him. Guess what? Your roots need to be deep. And guess what? Your foundation, amen, got to be high. And that each root, guess what? Listen to me carefully. If you realize, I did a study on some roots here, but some get so strong down in the ground, go so deep in the ground, and guess what? You can run into it, but whatever, you guess what? It's going to stand the test. And the building, to build up. Guess what? A building with 20, 30 stories high, guess how deep it has to be in the ground. And he wants to be deep. He wants to be rooted. He went to the point of not being movable, not to be shaken. Why? Because I know the word of God. And he wants us to be thoroughly furnished, as Paul mentioned in Timothy. And so he wants to dwell in our hearts richly, that he may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, guess what, in love. Just know God. Just know God. What's going to help you? Just know God. What's going to help you? Stay in the Word of God. My wife was, and I was at this prison, and we talked. We Tumco, Alabama, and we were, they wouldn't let us visit, but we had into the child room, and people, inmate has come to us to talk to us. One inmate had a problem. She said, "I'm saved, but I just don't read the Word of God like I should." I said, "You don't?" I said, "How much do you read?" She said, 10 chapters a day. That's more than I read, brother. 10 chapters. Her desire is to want to know more about the Word of God. To want to know more about God. And I couldn't say, "Well, you don't need to do a little bit more." You know what helped me? Hey, I need to be doing more. She said, 10 chapters a day? He said, "I need to do that." Think about that. 10 chapters a day. She wanted to know more about God. God has given you love, his love, enabling you to love him back. He wants your communication. He wants you to communicate. And can I tell you something? God wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear him too. A lot of times we pray, we want to listen to God. We want him to listen to us. You'll understand that. And could I tell you something, even reading the Word of God, it always helped you. And I'm not cutting out prayer, but it will help you, equip you in such a way you won't be asking God for something that you know is already in the Word of God. Because you knew what God, know what God said. Do you have to, God tell you something to do, you got to pray about it? Come on. You got to pray about it. It's the Word of God. And so we see here, and I'm going to skip some things here, but in Ephesians also, Paul says that ye may know, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, okay, and the length, and the depth of his, I'm talking about this height here, okay, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. Which passes knowledge and might be filled with all fullness of God. All fullness of God. You know, here's that. Listen. It's not that I got so much of God. As I read the Word of God, I will know how much he have of me. But reading the Word of God, you'll know how much. Listen. You know how much of God you got in you. God's not going to give you, "I'm going to give you a little bit more of me." No, he gave you all of him. When he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, when Christ died on that cross and was buried and rose again from the dead, and when you accepted Christ as personal Savior, you got all. Even joining as co-heirs with Christ, inheritance, all these things come along with Christ. Christ is the full package that God has given us, okay? And then we see here that he wants to understand these things and that you might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. God said, "I gave you the Word of God. Said, I want you to know all about me." And it still won't be enough. But God wants you to get so close to people. I hope you don't think I'm jumping on you or anything like that. Or trying to beat you over the head. But I want to challenge us and encourage us to know more about God. More about God. More about God. You know, it's such a blessing to me. With the Rock of Ages, I'm over about 70 families. And, you know, two or three call me just about every week, not to see how I'm doing, but to tell me what they read from the scriptures. You know, I have there's a former inmate, Brother Murphy, has been out for 2 years. He's living in Fort Lauderdale. He called me every week. I said, Brother Kelly, let me show what I just read today. Let me show what God showed me today. Said, Brother Kelly, you know, I'm going to put this to you. Brother Kelly, this is what I want to preach. Brother Kelly, this is what what you already preached. Brother Kelly, let me go over this with you. Brother Kelly, what do you think about that? I said, Brother, did you read the word of God? He said, did God speak to your heart about doing it? Guess what? Well, I ain't got nothing to say about it. But do what God tell you to do. What a blessing to know every week he called me. And to tell me about the word of God. You know, how many of us do that? You know, remind me of Malachi. You know, chapter 3, verse 16, you don't want to turn there. But in Malachi, you know, there's a bunch of people that's always questioning God, always against God. See, they argue with God. And God said, I love you. Where have I loved thee? God said, you robbed me. Where have I robbed thee? But then God, the Bible said that he found that remnant that really loved him. But God said, I heard him. And not only heard him, guess what? He wrote in the book, had been writing in the book of remembrance. God bragged on them. He said, they know me. Huh? And God said, they're faithful. Guess what? They're always talking about me. Yeah. You know, they always bring me up in every conversation. These people love me. And God said, let's be careful. And you do the things that are pleasing to God, guess what? He's going to reward you for it. Now, isn't that something? He don't have to reward us because we're unprofitable people. We're unprofitable saints. But God said, he is allowing the Spirit of God to work in his heart. And guess what? Glory is going to be brought to me through him. Isn't that something? Where we grieve and quench the Spirit of God. But guess what? When we please God and we fill with the Spirit of God, you know what? Even the angels, guess what? Desire to look into this great salvation that God has given us. This God to point down him to look at my child. Look at it. He's talking about me. Look at it. I know y'all say, boy, he's gone crazy up here. No, you read the word of God, and guess what? The angels desire how God, they have to work down in the hearts of people by way of the Spirit of God, and God is well pleased with it, and guess what? He said, look at my children. Not only that, my dear children, what a God. We're special to him. And God wants you to know more about him. I know I've gone somewhat over time here, but we need to understand that desire. Now notice Peter's desire again here. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. He's not talking about that they're babes and meat. But notice what he said, desire the sincere milk. So there's nothing, I know we ought to eat meat to show that we're mature, but sincere milk of your word that ye may what grow thereby. That ye may grow. Think about this. He said, as newborn babes, that desire. Think about this desire. You know when a babe is born, guess what he does? He or she does. That milk. Huh? Amen. That at that milk, ain't it?
That's right.
At that milk. Well, I'm going to step down here for a minute, okay? Some of y'all might have to help me get back up, but I'm going to step down. Think about that. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Think about your child. That child was born on milk. But when the child was born, the doctor didn't say, I'm going to send his legs later. I'm going to send his nose, ears, mouth, and all these, some of these things. That baby had everything that was needed. We had everything that we needed. But by the milk, okay, and here to make some of the sincere milk, talk about the word of God, every time that baby drank that milk, there was nourishment growing. And you know what? Eventually that baby found out that I can hold that. I got hands.
Yes.
Why? It grows. And guess what? Now, that's knowledge. Now, finally, the baby get wisdom. I know how to put it to my mouth myself. Y'all see that? And eventually they figure they got knees, because they crawl before they walk, right? So I got knowledge, I got knees. Now I got wisdom when I begin to crawl. And God's word, that ye may grow thereby. God wants you to grow as newborn babes, the desire as newborn babes. Then that baby realized he got knees to crawl. Now I've watched Mariah. He happened to watch her even the lads of our grandchildren. But guess what? I saw her get up. Realize I got legs. And that's knowledge of. But here's knowledge of just not having legs. Just, I got legs. Here's the wisdom. I know where, how, what to do with these legs now. And God's word, let's be careful, want you to get the word of God in, get the knowledge of God, and not only the knowledge of God, get the wisdom of God, know how to put together what you got read.
Yes. Amen.
That baby began to walk. And you ready for this? Now, since it's close to Father's Day, I'm going to mention this. First word the baby says is, Dada. You realize that you have a father. Have a father in heaven. And guess what? You realize, guess what? I am nurtured by way of the word of God. As desire, as newborn babe, that desire, you ought to have a hunger for the word of God. And I will say this to you. Please, I'm not boasting. This time, I can read the word of God, brother, 100 times. Same passage of scripture. You never exhaust the word of God. It's going to always give you something. There's time for his knowledge. Like, oh man, I know that. Man, I never knew this. That's knowledge. And then understanding. Guess what? Oh, I understand what God's saying. Then wisdom say, hey, I know what how to put it together and how when I'm falling in some particular area or something that crisis takes place, I know what to do about that crisis. Wisdom. As Paul said, and we know that all things work together. Now you got knowledge of it. You have the acquaintance of it. Then you have to have a wisdom of knowing that God knows what he's doing. The sovereignty of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, we should walk in them. God wants you to have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Now, let me tell you about the wisdom part of me. Now, this is just me. I can read the word of God and say, man, I didn't know that. Didn't understand it. Man, boy, that's good stuff. And then the wisdom, I know where it fits and how to apply it to my life. That's an understanding. Oh, I didn't know that knowledge. And then wisdom says, man, this is good stuff. That's me. Man, this is me. This is good stuff. And then wisdom. Wow. Wow. And, brother, that's sometimes when God, let's be careful. I'm not going to help you. That's sometimes when God just filled my heart so much of reading the word of God, I had to take a break. I had to walk into the office. Man, it's good stuff. Boy, this is good. Man. You know, and so much that this body can't take it. And I have another friend, I'm going to call his name, if that could come up before.
next time he come out of prison, next time he read the word of God, he said, "Woo!" I said, "What's going on, man?" "Oh, I tell you what, God just helped me with this. I know how to apply it now." What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Got the desire to want to know him. We want to be called the man of God, okay? The friend of God. Listen, we need to understand to be a servant of God. And that's where we fall short. We can serve God. We weren't going to serve one another. That's what God wants. That we may be truly furnished to all good works. Now, I don't know about you. I really don't. I don't know about you. I was, please, I can, y'all know me. I can tell you some tough things about me. I really can. But let's look on the positive side. The things I've gone through here lately, God has shown me so much. So much. He's drawn me closer to him. So much. People say, how do you go and you have dialysis, and after you leave dialysis, you go and preach, you hear, and then you come. I say, that's God. Well, guess what? And dialysis, there are the people that I can witness to. Y'all understand? So all I'm telling you, read the word of God. It is valuable. It is food. It's directions. Y'all understand? It counsels. It's everything you need is in the word of God. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to be godly? In the word of God. Now we understand that we can't apply anything to our life spiritually until we get into that spiritual book. God is so spiritual. God wants you to be a lot spiritual than what you are. Be one that want to know about more about God. Be one that can actually say, I love God. I have seen many Christians that serve God until something happens. Well, if you stay in the Word of God, you'll be surprised how the Comforter can help you by way of the Word of God. Notice he helps us with our infirmities. Infirmities. He didn't say infirmity, but infirmities. All problems. God is able to help us. God loves his children. But he wants you to know more about him. Have a closer walk with God. If you don't do anything else, have that closer walk with God. Have that constant awareness of the presence of God. You get into this book and you read this book, you will be better equipped in serving him and serving others. What if God say to you, I wish you would read my book more. I wish you would see the love I have for you. I want you to see all the benefits that you have, but you're cheating yourself. Without the word of God, you are cheating yourself. And you ready for this? The word of God is ammunition for you as well, to be able to stand the test if you read the word of God. Isn't that something? Well, I want to be equipped. I do. I want to be equipped. Amen. I want to have everything that God has for me. And God said, you're asking me for something and I've already given it to you. Please, open my book. See what I got to say to you. You ask the Lord to help you. He said, I have helped you. But your part is getting the word of God. And God to help you. Let me have it stand, please. All heads bowed and eyes closed.